if one of my non-me pieces dies, I'm going to be crying at that fucking funeral.
You're not doing that.
And I would love for my girl to support me through this.
You're going to be front row?
We not.
No, whoa, whoa. I was a non-me piece. I know my place.
Not somebody that you
was just... back of the church.
You was just smashing every now and again. No, you're not going to that.
Nah, what if they ask a five?
Nah.
But you could go to your shorties.
Yeah, that's a fact. I love her.
No worries, mouth.
Good morning, good afternoon, or good night, depending on when and where you are in the world and when you're listening to us. Welcome to a new episode of the new Rory and Maul podcast. I am Maul.
I'm Damaris.
And we are back. Had a couple days off. How you feeling, man?
I feel good. Speaking of good night, good morning, good evening, and all that stuff, I follow a girl that's in Iceland right now, and the sun goes down at 11 p.m. currently, and I think comes back up at 3 a.m.
Yikes.
Just judging by how like certain nights are kind of determined by what time the sun goes down and how that moves with your life, it might get fucking nuts in Iceland.
At night?
Well, the day.
In the day night?
It's just day sex all the time.
I don't know if I could live somewhere like that for an extended period of time. Like, it can't be dark for too many hours.
I'm kind of the opposite. It can't be light for too many hours. Well, summertime, I don't even particularly love because the sun goes down at fucking 9 p.m.
Well, the sun is your enemy.
That is very true.
It's not good
for
your skin. But I don't know. I need to see sunlight for a few hours. I don't have to be out in it. I need to see it. I need to see it coming through the windows. I just need to see it. If it's dark all day, you don't have the motivation. Like, if it's gloomy, raining all day, you don't want to go outside. Just stay home.
I mean, I've dabbled in the club girl vibe before. I just wonder what that would be like in a place where the sun is always out. Like, is there any laws?
Of course.
I feel like it would be
you think all the laws go out the window when the sun is
yes,
out all day?
Yes, I think there has a lot to do with laws based on the sun going up and down.
Okay. Well, yeah,
I think society is built off the sun going up and down. I don't think time is a real thing. I think the sun is a real thing.
The sun is a real thing, and that's how we keep time. Yeah,
and how there's structure and even delusion. Like, have you ever stayed up all night and just kind of got, not delusional the next day, but you're kind of out of whack because...
Yes.
Oh, no, it's the same effect.
The sun is rising, you haven't slept. Like, I could only imagine what the fuck that would be like if you're not on vacation.
I'm sure they're used to it, though. Oh, not on vacation. Oh.
Yeah, you have the same effect if you don't get any sleep. It's the same effect as you being drunk on your body.
What was the last time you guys pulled an all-nighter?
Monday?
Oh.
Out of stress?
I mean, I do that only when I'm traveling to the West Coast. Like, I'll stay up all night and just go straight to the airport so I can sleep the entire flight. But
they must make a killing in blackout curtains over there.
Oh, for sure. That's probably...
Corner of the market.
That's probably law. You have to have blackout curtains. You have to have, I guess, a heater or something in your house. Like,
isn't Iceland warm? Because I watched the Mighty Ducks, and I'm only going off that.
Iceland gets warm.
I feel like Greenland is, is ice.
Cold one.
Greenland
and then
is cold. Iceland
is
normal. Is green.
But we have to really... get into. I know we're tearing down the statues of all the people that like own slaves and shit in America, which I'm
and I
all the
be
way
totally
for.
Wrong about that. But.
But all the people that named these places, like, were they just trying to be ironic and sarcastic? Like, I don't think I should be able to name a country because I'm an asshole.
Well, a lot of it has to do with the earth is changing because we fucked it up. Fucked up the earth's core so much. So places
yeah,
that
it might
used
have
to
been
be
ice a lot
ice,
of ice before
the
years
ice has
ago,
melted.
When they found
like
it.
You it
may
know,
have been covered
like
by
that.
Ice. You guys are not going to get me back into a TikTok. Viral moment
right.
about the dinosaurs because they're about to be like Iceland was ice and then Iceland did this and then green yeah you're not going to get video. Me looking stupid on TikTok for,
you're always
for 3 weeks
for something.
Did you see that on TikTok?
Are you viral Poppy?
Dinosaurs?
Yeah, they made fun of Rory.
I actually whoever did that, I don't know the gentleman's name. I wish I could.
I have not been.
He was
been
hilarious
TikTok.
I thought that was fucking great. I love a good joke. And they took me saying on this podcast, when the asteroid hit, why did like all the bones stay?
Mm-hmm.
And this gentleman
he
with a very sarcastic, yeah, but in a very condescending, like
oh,
the way I would
like
tell
a
joke.
Shit.
Oh yeah, it was fucking amazing. Right okay. there.
He made you
third
like a
one.
Piece of shit. Got it.
Oh, he was hilarious. What's this guy's name? I want to give him credit.
This is Rocky Retrograde. Grade. Yeah. Rocky Retrograde.
Shout out to Rocky Retrograde. This was hilarious.
Asteroid that killed all the dinosaurs, yet their bones stayed. It's just nothing.
Big rock fly into planet. Big rock. Big rock hit planet in one part. Big boom. Fire not go all around planet. fire stay. Crater big, fire hurt dinosaur. Dinosaur die.
He's making fun of how stupid I am. And oh, so thinking
he,
that the
so he wants to talk like a Neanderthal, weren't. Like that's like his Neanderthal accent.
Yes. Well, you know, this is just why I hate Democrats.
Okay, I am
them
a Republican.
And their global warming and their fossil fuels. We never got into the conspiracy. What fossil fuels, fossils, dinosaurs, fuel? Never mind. It's cool. Ooh, nah, it's cool. I don't want to get
your
into
pen
it.
Pen is crazy.
Nah, it's, I see what he's doing.
Yeah, you're gonna have another one for you tomorrow behind this one. I didn't break it down for you enough. Okay,
it lagged a lot, so you missed a lot of the good comedic timing. It was very funny.
No, I like.
It did a lot of numbers.
First of all, yeah, that's it has 1.8 million likes. First of all,
about my stupidity.
Yeah, 1.8 million people think you're stupid.
My mother's so proud.
Yeah. but yeah, I mean, you know, I like the fact that he did that just to kind of break it down in the
Rocky Richard
to where you can understand like dinosaur don't die because dinosaur. Don't die from rock explosion.
And you know what?
How are you making a you Chinese accent, Maul? What the fuck?
That's what he was doing.
He did a Neanderthal.
He sounded like the guy from Norbit that owned the fucking orphan.
He might as well said more duck sauce or soy sauce. Is what you're saying.
That's the only thing he didn't say. But yeah, I like that. I appreciate that because you know he did help you out, and now you understand that.
Well, you know what made me feel worse about the entire thing? Outside of I don't give a fuck. I actually thought it was hilarious, but the fact that I fully understood what he was saying.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I'm glad someone cleared that up. But he did it in the most condescending, dumb tone
like
to
that.
Make me understand it.
I
was like, oh, I get it now.
I love
I didn't even know
tones.
About the cloud.
Condescending. They should teach a class on how to speak with a condescending tone.
Oh, I could teach that class.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. They should absolutely teach a class on how to speak
one
with
of my best
a condescending tone. They need it. I think that's necessary. I think that helps you bypass a lot of frivolous conversations. Speaking of frivolous conversations, I had a lot of frivolous conversations at your single release party the other night. I was like totally drained.
Successful
mentally,
party that I did not throw, but I threw.
Mentally drained, physically drained. But we need a class on condescending tones. We need to know how to speak that fluently because that helps you get out of bullshit conversations. Like,
but sometimes when you deliver a message in a condescending tone, the tone is all the person hears and not the message.
No, but this is why when you take a class, true. You know how to fluctuate your voice, different octaves, mm-hmm. but still keep the condescending demeanor where the person is like, I think this person's being sarcastic. Like, yeah, I am.
Leave do you really think that?
Absolutely. I do.
See?
I got it.
Clearly not.
I got it. But you saw how I fucked him up? Like, yeah, no, I do.
I was caught off guard at my, it's not a party, at the gathering. I was caught off guard
because
usually I go into places thinking, let me get prepared to get my condescending small talk, find my exits out of conversations I don't want to have, like, oh, what you working on? Like, yeah. Like, you know, those combos.
You got to prepare yourself for that. Yeah,
so, no, that takes a lot out of me, so I have to prepare myself for it.
Mm-hmm.
I went in there vulnerable,
mm-hmm.
like just chilling, thinking I invited friends and family, not realizing they brought all their pluses.
Mm-hmm.
Plus six.
And I was not ready. I was cornered. I couldn't get out of the corner. I got verbally jumped.
Yeah, it almost happened to me, but I was able to maneuver and spin off a little bit. But first of all, congratulations on the single coming out. Great
thank
record.
You. Thank you.
I want you, but you'll never know. Rory, Shelly, FKA Drum, and the lovely Alex Isley. So congrats on that. Some people that are in there that I didn't see in a while that I was happy to see.
1% of my listenership is non-binary.
Cool.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
They must the be numbers really good. On
that? Yeah, I looked them up while we were sitting here before we started recording. I was like, oh, that's cool. Well,
yeah.
I want to up that though. Yeah. I feel like the song is non-binary.
Rory is a them now.
I could really like have fun with that.
No, I know. No, that was actually really good. Yeah, like I really wasn't.
I'm not going to do it. So it was a lot of people in there that I haven't seen in a while that it was good to see, you know, old faces, old friends.
That was the goal.
Yeah.
And then the old faces brought new ones.
Yeah. Yeah, people you didn't know, right?
I'm like, what are you doing here?
So I ended up sitting next to Scotty and Raven.
Okay.
Shout out to Scotty and Raven.
At Scotty Beam.
FKA
Diani.
Oh, yes. and Ravy B.
FKA Raven.
Yeah. so Raven, we was talking and she was like,
name.
She said, I love the fact that Rory thinks that he's really not industry. And I was like, what do you mean? So, no, listen, listen. Yeah. No, it gets better.
I am, though.
No, no, but it gets better. So when I walked in, first of all, I saw Benner and he was like, yo, you know, do you want to introduce the single once we play it at midnight because Rory doesn't want to do it? So I looked at Ben and I'm like, okay. Like,
and first of all, I don't like that I'm just finding out about this because I wouldn't want you to do that either. I would never ask that of you.
That's what I'm saying. So I was like, sure. I looked around like, why doesn't Rory? He's like, Rory doesn't want to do it. I was like, okay. I mean, no, if you need somebody to do it, I'll do it. I don't mind. But that's neither here nor there. So we talked about that. We laughed, whatever. And so I'm talking to Raven and she's like, yo, I love the fact that Rory thinks he's not industry. I was like, he's definitely industry, but he's gonna fight it till he can't fight it no more.
I'm gonna ruin the whole story. So industry.
So as we're sitting there talking, Low Key introduced the single.
Shout out to Low Key.
And Rory gets into his bag. He's like, No. I don't want to do this.
It's a terrible.
I don't want to introduce a song. These are my friends. You guys are my friends.
Put your phone down.
Why are you taking pictures of me? I know you guys. I just spoke to you earlier on the phone. I'm like,
all truth.
No, all truth. While it may be
I thought it was weird.
While it may be all true.
Fam, I don't ever want to see my friends take their phone out.
No, but it's just funny because you go from that to no to, well, let me tell you, I really wanted to go with the second song that we're going to put out.
Balance.
I said, yo, and that went into a whole speech about the record, which was great, which is what you're supposed to do. It's a great record.
I was forced to do it. I tried to do it my way and then get into what they were asking. I understand,
but it was just, we had to have fun because it went from,
oh, as you should've.
No, I don't want to do this to, well, let me tell you, I really wanted to go with the second song that I love personally. But this one, you know, we wrote and we did, and I was just like, look at my boy in his bag. Like, he's going to fight that industry shit as long as he can, but you can't fight it.
It's like when people like applaud for you, like, oh, please stop.
Stop.
But then you're like, you keep going.
Yeah, keep going. Or it's like you win an award and you like, yo, I didn't have anything prepared and pull out a whole fucking list of.
I had no idea.
Like, I was not expecting this at all. Didn't think I would win. But it was good to see a room full of people that you respect and that you have a relationship with come out and support you, enjoy the record, enjoy the music. It was definitely a good vibe in there.
But why it was weird to me is because the people there was other people there that were not friends and family. But it was just odd to me. I didn't want it wasn't a listening party, even though it was, I guess, tagged as that.
Mm-hmm.
It was a let's come out and kick it. People I don't see a lot. We're getting older in age,
we all don't
see each other as much. Like, let's just all kick it. And the song is not to be played in like a party. Like,
go
listen to it on your way home.
You're wrong on that, though. That song can definitely be played in a party. Mm-hmm. That type of party.
I agree.
A small, intimate room like that, dim lights, candles. It was the right vibe for that record.
But it just makes me really uncomfortable.
Would I play that at M2? No. Like, I wouldn't be blasting that as a DJ at M2. But in that...
Couldn't get that one off at the tunnel.
Yeah, no. But in that environment, that loungy type of vibe, piano on the stage, absolutely you can get that off in it.
I guess I just don't ever want to watch... Because I know all my friends have different tastes. Mm-hmm. And I want to celebrate with my friends. Even if they don't like the song, I'd be fine with that. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be offended by it.
Right.
I didn't make the record for my friends to like. I made it for people that...
You wanted to create a vibe.
And the people that I know like that type of shit.
Yeah, but at the same time...
I don't want to watch my friends, not pretend, but like have to awkwardly sit there while I'm like, hey, listen to my song. Like,
No.
If you want to listen to it, go listen to it. If you don't, you're still my friend. My friendship is not based off you listening to my record.
But here's the thing,
There was no reporters industry type of like, oh, we invited the DSPs. No, we invited my friends.
Here's the thing. You got to remember, number one, you have an ear for music that most people would appreciate. Even if they don't play it on their own.
Sure.
If they're in a spot and it comes on, they're not going to be like, this song is terrible.
Oh, yeah. I don't think that. But.
Number two, they came out because they knew that you were putting a single out. So, of course, they want to hear the record.
They came out because we put open bar. 90%
of the people in there that I invited have had that record for 3 months.
Which means even more that because they came out. So, it's like, oh, yeah, play the record. I heard it. I like it.
I guess.
So, it was just fun to watch you, like, not want that spotlight.
I didn't.
But then as soon as the spotlight came on, oh, you turned into old Blue Eyes. You turned into Frankie Sinatra.
No.
You was up there. You was up there doing your shoo-wop. I said, look at my boy Glow. You was up there. You was so comfortable in the room full of vultures. And there weren't any vultures in there, but.
No, not even close. No, that all came from us doing live pods.
Yeah.
Because I can just turn that on if I have to.
Mm-hmm.
because I just felt awkward. Then everyone started to put their phones out, and I'm like, well, fuck, now I have to say something. Right. Where everyone stopped at the conversations they were having. The music went off. I was like, all right, well, I guess now I'll say something. And this in the second record that comes out on the 22nd, I just assumed like that one would have fared better in that room. So I was like, oh, let's listen to this one.
No.
Instead of the one that's out now.
The record was great. It came across great. It was the right room for it, the right vibe, the right energy, the right people were in the room for that record. You had a lot of savvy musical savvy people in the room that know good music, that appreciate good music. And I think that it was a great night. I think it was the right amount of people, the right room, the right energy. Like, I think that it was a really, really successful night. So congratulations on that.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Congratulations on the record. The record is dope, but I told you that when you played that shit for me months ago. And yeah, man, we need to do some more of that though. I'm not gonna lie. I meant to text you the next day. Like, I ain't gonna lie. We might need one of those a month.
Right. Yo, I loved it.
The amount of money that open bar and space cost together. We could do that shit bi-weekly.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie. Like, that was a real nice room, real good energy. And yeah, we need shit like that. Like, I don't go out. I went out only, like I said, to support you. And I knew that we know a lot of mutual people. So some people I haven't seen in a while, I knew they would be there. So,
and I wasn't gonna try to do some fucking big ass listening party. Like, let's do some shit the size of my living room and kick it.
It was the right type of vibe, right type of room. I ran into Best in there. Best scared me a little bit. I was just, and that's my guy. I love him. But, you know, you don't expect his energy in that type of room. I'm like, Best, you're scaring the people.
Let me tell y'all about Best. I walked in. Best got there before me.
Big body Best.
He's standing outside the venue with like a half a pound of weed in his hand.
Allegedly. It was legal. Yeah.
Hold it outside the venue. I walked up to him. He hugged me real tight, said I smell good, all that shit. I'm like, Best, I understand that, but I need you to put that away.
Mind you, all he could smell was his own weed. Yeah. He couldn't even smell you.
Exactly. I said, Best, I need you to put that away. No, we ain't gonna bring it in the venue. I need you to put it away.
Oh, sorry,
you're
that's me.
You're standing on
like
Broadway holding a half a pound of weed. I need you to put it
Big
away.
Bronx energy. Gotta love it. Shout out to my guy, Big Body like, Best.
He's a sweetie.
But yeah, it was a lot of good people in the room. A lot of good people. I had to have and entertain conversations that, you know how I am, Rory. I think I'm worse than you when it comes to socially awkward shit. I didn't want to have certain conversations, but I had to.
Because now
I'm just always like, I don't want to leave here and then it be a mention on me on Twitter like, oh, he's such an asshole. Like, I'm like, I don't want people to just think I'm an asshole, but you know what it is? I don't like having... I feel like you should feel my energy when I'm like, all right, I'm done with this conversation.
I feel the same way, and I think we're wrong.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
I think you should take cues of what, because I'm going to make the cues even crazier.
Yeah.
A company that we fuck with heavily had brought some people there who were very nice people, like them. But after 2 minutes, like, how many more, yo, appreciate y'all, like, thank you, everything y'all do. Like, how many more of those after everything you say?
And I don't want
you need.
And I don't want it to come across like I'm not appreciative of love and support and good energy. You know, I like that, but at the same time, I'm here to party. I'm here to just chill, have a good time. I don't want to talk about business. And,
oh my god,
I don't want to do that. I just want to chill. Let's just chill.
I'm aware, smoke, drink,
talk to some ladies. Like, self awareness
and other people's self awareness. Like, shit. When Boogie did his single release joint, I was in LA, and Boogie and I, let's not even say like the corporation partners, like, oh, look, here to support. Me and Boogie friends for real.
Mm-hmm.
I knew the night Boogie had with the amount of people in there. I did not speak to Boogie once.
Mm-hmm.
Because I went to support the party. We kicked it similar to mine, like a small shit, but he had his, Interscope type of shit where he had the politic and all that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm leaving you alone because I know you got to do that shit. I just wish people...
You got to play the room.
I feel like everyone would just let the person do that.
Yeah. I mean, but everybody, they don't pick up on that. So, it's okay. But all in all, again, man, it was a good night, a good event, great music. We need to do that a little more often. We need to figure something out to where we could...
And there's smaller rooms at that spot, too.
Yeah, where we could do something in that type of room and just to have something to go to every month, just to get out the house and just, see people that we don't see all the time.
Yeah.
Even if it's just for one night out of the month and just, all right, leave me alone for another 30 days. I'll see you on 30 days, that type of shit.
And I think it was Best because we curated it. Like, it wasn't like somebody else's party we went to. Like, we knew who were going to be there.
Yeah.
And it's people that we actually wanted to see and we wanted to kick it with. So that's so much better than just going out and like random people are there. It's like, no, these are our people. Like, this is kind of family and an extension of family, of course. But
yeah,
I'm not mad at like podding for 20 minutes and then just kicking it for the night type of
thing. Yeah, something like that. Something real cool, real intimate, but fun. You know, not too stuffy. You know, a little loose in there. That's why I walked in there. I smelled the kush immediately. I knew I was home. I said, oh, yes, we can smoke in here.
Yeah, the manager came up to me and was like, someone's smoking in here. I said, find him and kick their ass out.
Oh, that was me for sure. manager, whoever you are, that was definitely me. I'm sorry.
Somebody definitely did come up to me and said, did someone smoke here? I was like, no one would ever do that. I was high off the secondhand smoke. Yeah,
that was me and a few other individuals who shall remain nameless.
I didn't smell it. I was in the corner. I smelled it.
That shit on every part of the room.
I definitely raised the noise pollution, the smoke pollution in there. Definitely, definitely. But it was a good room. It was a good room for that. It felt like a little jazz lounge. You know, you jazz.
It was
lounge,
Rory's vibe. That's why, like, when I saw it, I was like, I think this would work perfect with Rory because it was his vibe.
Real good night.
I hate to, you know, I never want to beat topics that we've talked about so much into the ground. But we can revisit this one now that you said that you and Raven were talking about it.
Okay.
Being industry.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Do you have a different view of it?
Do I have a different view of being industry?
I used to fight me being industry because I had a different definition of what being industry meant. At this point, now I've accepted everyone else's definition of it. Now I understand I'm industry.
We're industry, bro. Like we're industry. We just don't do the industry shit all the time.
I agree.
Like we're industry, but we don't do the industry. Like I don't go to a lot of these events. I don't go to a lot of these parties. I don't go to a lot of these festivals and conferences, and I don't do that type of shit. But I jump in and out of certain things that I feel like is going to be worth my time. Like, okay, I'll go support that. I'll go pop out to that. But we're industry. It is what it is. But the industry I'm talking about is the ones that like hold that card high, like everywhere they go. Like that I don't do
that's
that.
That's what I always viewed it as. Yeah, I don't do that. We know that industry person. That's how I always viewed it.
It gets a negative kind of connotation, like the industry thing.
And to me now I realize the definition of it is if you're a garbage man and you pick up garbage and someone goes, you're a garbage man. It's like, yeah, I am.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I work in the music industry.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, okay. Then I'm industry.
I get it.
We just all have that different
because industry meant like, oh, you be trying to act like you better than somebody, and you
corny, and like you try to pull that shit. And there's people that don't even work in the music industry that I'd be like, yo, you industry.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you just do that corny shit.
Yeah.
Like, I'll go to events because I would like the artist, and there might be some hoes there. Not because I'm like, hey, I just to let you guys know, I went to this place. Like, nah, I fuck with his music and he get bitches. So it might
exactly.
be.
So I'm here.
He get bitches. It's funny.
You also went out last night.
All right. So to me, this is a perfect example.
That's some industry shit.
How?
That was an industry event.
No, it wasn't.
It was a listening event.
But I have not been to a listening event in so fucking long.
24 hours. You had yours.
Mine was an industry.
You had yours Monday.
Mine was an industry.
And you had another one on
yours
Wednesday.
Yours was definitely industry.
It was industry, bro.
I had an RSVP.
Damaris called me like, I might not even be able to get in. She called me on
That's
my way there.
What I
Your
told
niece's Damaris kid Sierra like, had an RSVP.
Damaris called me like, Ma, where you at? I said, 5 minutes away. Oh, cuz, yo, I don't know. It's tight.
That's not
it's tight.
What I said,
I was
Ma.
Like, yo, it's tight, D. Like, I can't get in. She was like, yo, you might have to do something to me, like drop her a little dub or something.
That's
I'm like, word, I might have to grease her palms. I might have to grease her palms to get in there.
You couldn't get into my,
yo,
into
was,
my single
it was
release.
Close. It was close. I'm not going to lie. Like, Ma I
was trying to come. Mind you, this was at 11:30. The party ended at 12:30.
National line.
Ma, I was outside. Bro, I was standing outside, bro. It was 11:30.
It was 10:20.
This nigga lying. Rory came at 10:20. You lying.
How? See, she lying on me. Because I said I got there before 10. She was like, you got there way after 10. I was like, I got there like 9:30, 9:40.
I got there at 10:20.
Ma, you lie, dad.
What you mean?
That's crazy. You lie like that.
He can show the Uber.
I'm going to scroll, because don't worry, because I got it in my phone.
Damn, how many people you text? That's a lot of scrolls.
It was anyway.
This shit was on Monday.
Anyway, Ma.
It wasn't that long ago. And I know you delete
Ma
text messages.
Ma told me he was 10 minutes away at 11:56. You know when Ma say 10 minutes away, it really means 20.
At 11:56?
At 10:56. Oh. Ma got there at 11:25, bro.
No, I did not. I did not get there at 11:25.
You called. I called you at 10:56. You said you was 10 minutes away.
Nah, I was in the building. I was in.
You
the building
wasn't
by
in
11.
The fucking building.
I was in the building by 11.
Oh no, you were not.
I was.
All right.
Ask Benner. Ask all.
What should be asked, Benner? I did the guest
list. Eddie, where were you?
I overslept.
I just thought about that. I'm like,
yo. Yeah, Eddie couldn't make it because he had to edit the episode edit we recorded that, yeah. too late.
Yo, bro, I swear
I just was like, wait, hold up.
I took that excuse. I was like, so bad. I think I told you to cut out one 10-second thing. It's I don't know if I'm rolling.
It's okay. I get
I felt
it.
So bad.
No, I get it. It's fine. I understand. But yeah, you went to another listening session for Lloyd Banks.
To me, that wasn't industry.
That sounds pretty.
A Lloyd Banks listening session isn't industry?
Nah.
No.
Nah, what? Lloyd Banks. Rory more industry than Lloyd Banks.
All right, so Lloyd just going to let me in there?
Yes, I'm more industry than Lloyd Banks.
Rory's in a picture with West Side Gun. Lloyd Banks.
Brother.
They're rappers. I don't care if they're your friends or not. That's some industry shit. You can't fight it, bro. Don't try to fight this. That's some industry shit. You went to a Lloyd Banks listening session.
If I was in a picture with a rapper I didn't know at his listening session, that's industry to me.
Nah. That is too. Nah.
That's industry shit to me.
But if you're in pictures with rappers, that's industry shit, bro. The fact that you could say Lloyd Banks, oh, brother, that's my brother. That's industry shit.
It's like the fourth impression. It's the fourth impression of me.
West Side Gun? Oh, no, that's my guy.
Maul, don't do that. Because all them people are your people's too, though.
I said I'm industry.
Oh, okay.
He did say that.
Oh, okay.
That's what you're missing here. He's fighting it. I've accepted it,
but in this podcast, I'm going off our definition.
Fight to the death, Rory.
It can't be. All right. If you go... All right, every... Hove listening session you went to, that made you industry?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Hell yeah.
Absolutely.
I fought it.
Your brother.
I fought it for 20 years.
Yeah, but his brother's
it.
Industry.
Maul was like born industry.
I fought it for years, Rory. I'm not fighting no more. I am industry. I'm here to let y'all
it's
know
not
I'm
a
industry.
Disease, y'all.
I can't fight it. I'm not the industry we don't like. I'm not that type of industry.
All right. I guess that's what I keep going back to.
Exactly. You're not that type of industry, but you are industry, bro.
I feel like it's worse when you deny
the fact that you got an invite to Lloyd Banks' listening session is some industry.
My invitation got lost.
I would not exist in this industry without Sha Money. Yeah. Those are my...
Facts.
People.
Nothing facts.
Wrong. And you accept facts. It, which is there's nothing wrong with that. See?
I get it.
But that's... fucking Sha was at my engagement party in St. Albans. Yeah, like that. Uh-huh. Like these are my family.
Industry.
Right.
No, those are my family.
It don't matter. Your family's industry, your industry by family.
Your family's industry.
I know. It hurts.
Well, we're not blood related like Maul.
It hurts. I know it hurts to accept it, but you gotta accept it, man. But how was the Lloyd Banks listening session?
It was good, and how I would define it would be not industry. It was a bunch of people that we fuck with, whose opinions we fuck with,
cool.
that came and kicked it and showed Banks love. And there was a lot, you know what I actually liked a lot about it? There was a lot of young people and young, I guess I wouldn't call them, I don't know what they're called now, because they're not bloggers, because they run off IG pages and all that. Mm-hmm. But people that post new music, there was a lot of them in there. And that made me feel like good about where the music I grew up on in its longevity.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Like young people was there to really check out the Banks listening party.
That's dope.
And it was great food and Douce and tequila. That'll help too.
Yeah, but I totally forgot about it. I got to text Hovain and apologize about not going because he did invite me. But I saw some people that was there. I saw, you know, people talking about the project online, like they like it.
Oh, for sure.
And I just told Hovain, I'm just happy to see Banks active and, you know, moving around outside again and having a listening session and having a album release dinner and things like that. Because, you know, for a few years, Banks kind of like, you know, stayed in this bubble and kind of just, you know, disappeared and wasn't really like accessible like that. Yeah, you know what I mean?
A long time.
Yeah, so
even when he's putting out great mixtapes, Banks has never been a social person to begin with.
Yeah.
So seeing him at that listening party, like actually... I don't want to say excited because we Banks and I both share that same like dark aura about each other. When we walk in a room, it looks like we're miserable and we're not.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
He had like a pep in his step and he was like happy to be there. He was asking people about records. I was like,
that's nice.
Oh, this is great because the music is great.
Maybe he took some shrooms.
That could be it.
Mm.
Banks said I'll take him for his word. I've never known Banks to be a liar. Banks is not drinking. He's not smoking. I hope that doesn't ruin his image.
I hope the ball still hit.
Yeah. Like Banks, you know, of course, and we know him. He's a family man now.
Yeah.
Like he just, Banks looked good, man.
That's
he
cool.
just, he looked, ha- he looked so happy about the project too. That meant a lot. Outside, fuck my opinion. He looked so excited about the project.
I like seeing rappers from a certain era age gracefully, and good to hear that he's not drinking or smoking, not abusing drugs. Because a lot of, you know, unfortunately in our culture, as artists get older, mm-hmm. you know, for the most part, a lot of them, you know, fall victim to their vices and mm-hmm. you don't see them for 5 years and then they pop up and they look, I'm talking about bad. Like, Jesus Damn. Christ, life hit him with a fucking combo. You know what I mean? But guys like Banks, to see them get older and Thriving. Still sharp at their craft, yeah. still look good, still carry themselves a certain way, it's good to see that. You know what I mean? Because like I said, we get a lot of the opposite end of that where it's like, damn, like he let himself go. He looked bad. He's strung out. You know what I mean? But to see artists, especially rappers, grow and you know, still look good and still carry themselves at a certain level and a certain standard, I love seeing shit like that.
And maybe our younger fans won't realize the run that G-Unit had and how important that was to hip-hop to begin
Absolutely.
With. Absolutely. It's a credit that I don't think people will give Banks in the second half of his career.
Mm-hmm.
He could have taken every single bait from 50, and I don't want to get in between the 50 and Banks thing or the entire G-Unit family. I'm staying out of that entire thing. Banks has never replied to any of that shit.
Mm-hmm.
When he could have.
Yeah, but
when he could have, and especially around the first Cody, Banks could have centered his entire rollout around that entire thing,
mm-hmm.
and he didn't. He just made an amazing album
mm-hmm.
and just kept it pushing.
That's the best way to do things sometimes, though, man. Like, and Banks never really had a real negative energy about him, even
ever.
You know, in the early 2000s. Like, he never had that. He was, obviously, he was G-Unit, you know what I mean? And, you know, the lyrics were, you know, street and hardcore, if you want to call it that or whatever. But in any interview you see at Banks, he's always very soft-spoken, mild-mannered. Yeah. You never really see him, like, rah, 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 loud, loud, unless he's performing. So, you know, I mean, and then, again, shit like that is probably, like, it is very personal. And you know where it can go. It's going to be a spiral of just airing out shit that's private, that's personal to us. And then once it's said and done, it's going to be like, all right, what was all that for? And you don't ever want to get caught up in that, especially when it's a lot of history, a lot of personal things that people don't know about
mm-hmm.
that, you know, it's like you risk putting that out there in the public. And then once it's out there, you can't take it back. We can move past it, but we'll always remember what was said about each other, you know, what was done. So it's good that sometimes you just like understand like this is just a moment. Don't get caught up in the moment. Don't say some shit that you're going to regret 5 minutes from now, 10 minutes from now. Just let it settle where it's going to settle. And the end result is Banks still having a very, you know, successful, progressive career.
For sure.
Still looking good, still sounding good. And sometimes you got to let life happen like that.
And of course, they could do more together, but sometimes that ain't your choice.
Sometimes, yeah, it's supposed to end right there. That's what it was. Fine. Yeah, just like how we talked about the Mace and the Bad Boy thing. That's the story. That's part right. of it. That's part of the legacy. That's how it was supposed to go. That's how it was written. That's how it was supposed to go down. It is what it is. Course of the Inevitable 2,
yes.
Available now. Download that, stream that. I finally watched the rest of the Supreme Team documentary.
Hey, I'm glad.
Shout out to Mass Appeal. Shout out to Nas. Shout out to everybody involved with that. It was a really, really good documentary. If you haven't watched it, please watch it. Check it out. It's a really, really emotional story. You know, it's just a mirror of what goes on in the cities. And like I said, I like the fact that Nas did it. He directed it. He interviewed a lot of the people that was on it. I like the fact, I just like that, again, because it's weird how Nas needed characters like Preem and Prince and these guys to, because hip-hop is the art of storytelling, so they had to live the story in order mm-hmm. for Nas to rap about it and to, you know, spread it out to the world and basically be the mouthpiece for what was going on in his community. So it was good that they sat down and they, you know, like relived a lot of those moments in those days. Sad stories. You realize how many lives were lost. How many lives were lost to, you know, violence. How many lives were lost to jail sentences.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, you know, it's it's a story that needed to be told. It's a story that needed to be put together. And I think Nas and Master Pill did a great job at that. So if you get a chance, if you haven't seen it yet, Supreme Team documentary on Showtime.
Check it out. I think what Nas and Master Pill did the best about that entire doc is all the stuff that wasn't about the Supreme Team.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, that's what I think was so important. They weren't glorifying anything. There was no romanticizing the entire shit. It was, all right, this is the fuck was going on in New York City, and mm-hmm. this was the result.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it was so much more about what was going on, fuck New York City, America at the time, mm-hmm. and this is what you got. This was a result of everything that the higher-ups that we could never control.
Yep.
This is it.
And I love the fact that we finally got to hear from Irv's, his side of the story and what happened and what was the relationship with him and Preem. Because a lot of people for years, it was speculation.
Yeah.
So I love the fact that Nas was able to sit Irv down and get that side of the story for him. It shed a lot of light on, you know, because I loosely knew what was going on and what had happened. But to hear Irv talk in depth about it was like, that's what I took the most from I knew a lot of the other parts of the stories of the Preem team. But getting Irv's story and what happened with Murder, Inc. and all of that and his relationship with Supreme, I thought that was dope that Nas was able to sit down and get that interview with Irv. But yeah, it was a really good documentary, man. I wish it was a little longer. That was my only thing. Like, I felt like it could have been like another 4 episodes. But they did a good job.
You know, we talk with Irv at BET. And I think they'll tell, hopefully in the scripted series, and I have trust in everyone that's involved with it, that they'll tell like the whole fucking story.
Yeah, they'll get. But this set the tone. Like, this was great for that. Like, now we know that the series is coming. We know that I believe the movie is coming. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's other things that are happening, that, you know, other sides of the stories, more in detail about certain things that happen without affecting anybody in current day. You know what I mean? Yeah, like, I know they're going to find a way to, like, listen, we can't say too many things. But all in all, it was just very interesting to see, you know, old videos of LL in the club.
That's at and him 16
like,
years old.
Yeah, him looking at, you know, these guys on stage and like idolizing these guys, like, damn, like, this is LL Cool J. This is like the first rap superstar. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And he's looking at these guys like, damn, like, you know, they really doing it.
And the older guys were Run DMC. As far as like the rapper wise that were idolizing Preem and Prince and mm-hmm. everybody. Mm-hmm. Bimmy was their first fucking road manager.
Yeah.
Crazy. Actually, I mean, I would have loved to see Bimmy involved in it. And I honestly have no idea why he wasn't, nor mm-hmm. is it my business why he wasn't. It would have been nice to hear from Bimmy in that. And a few other people mm-hmm. I wish would have been involved in that documentary, but that's politics that are just politics. But
yeah.
I'm glad that story was told. It was just funny to me looking at this fucking TV and seeing Supreme Team on Showtime.
Yeah.
Like, that was just that just tripped me out.
Yeah. A really good documentary. Check it out. So I was watching some clips on Instagram today, and I saw that Angie Martinez, first episode of her podcast. Shout out to Angie Martinez. First episode with Lauren London.
And before we even get into that, I'm so happy to see Ange after the accident that she had.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Looking so, like, I'm so looking happy she's healthy.
Yeah,
like,
back to herself, yeah.
Shout out to Angie, man. I'm so happy your recovery has, I'm sure it was not easy.
Yeah.
But it's good to see you back and, like,
I think the last time I saw Angie at the Rock Nation office, I think she still had her back brace on the last time I saw her. So, you know, to see her like move on from that and what looks like she's fully recovered from that is good to see that. But yeah, I didn't actually see the whole interview yet, but I did see some clips online with Lauren London.
Damaris about to take over. This is her favorite interview of all time.
Is this? Did you really enjoy it?
I really, really, really enjoyed them all.
Good.
It was like it came at like the right time. Yeah. It was beautiful. Not even just, you know, talking. She spoke. The episode is called We're All Gonna Die.
Yeah, which is a fact.
Fact. And they spoke a lot regarding not only just like death in the physical, but like also the death of your ego and moving from your ego. And you've seen that Lauren has grown a lot since her loss, which I mean is to be expected.
Absolutely.
But just, you know, how she's the path that she's on to like where she's just like, I want to kill my ego. I don't want to move from my ego. I want to move out of pure love. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to move out of what's my purpose. Like, I want to do things because it's my purpose, not because I want to impress people, or I feel like this is what I should be doing. Mm-hmm. And she sound really enlightened and really like she's on a good path. And it was great to see her in that light.
I got to watch that
space.
Man.
I mean,
it was amazing. I cried, but I didn't cry in the way that I thought I would cry. I didn't cry in the way of like, she's crying over Nip and, you know, like the fantasy cry. It was more like almost like a realization and an enlightenment that we are not as important in this world as we like to think that we are.
Yeah.
What's really important is our work and what we're set here to do.
Yeah.
And walking in our purpose with that, with whoever you believe in, whether it's God or whoever, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, death will do, fuck religion or what you believe in. That's your prerogative. No matter what human, death will make you feel that type of way.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if it's a partner. And I didn't watch the interview. I saw one clip, but I mean, I don't want to lose a partner, but it's pretty high in percentage that it might happen mm-hmm. at some point.
Mm-hmm.
That shit will put a lot of things in perspective as far as your ego. You want to fight about a bunch of bullshit, everything. And then when that person's gone, it's like, wait, this is what I spent my time with this person talking about this bullshit. Like it just, I could see your whole ego wanting to go away at that point. Like I cannot believe I walked in the house and this is what I was beefing about.
Yeah.
It's ego is a funny thing because I do think ego is necessary. I just think that you need to know how to turn it on, turn it off type of thing. I think that ego is, it helps you in a lot of situations. It helps you in a lot of circumstances where, you know, even if it's something as simple as a job interview, just like, cause ego, you know, just confident, just the way you carry yourself, knowing that you're capable, knowing that you're more than up for the job. You know what I'm saying? Like sometimes you need to have that energy about you. Like I could do this, like without a doubt.
I think every major emotion that we have is important and purposeful. The entire point of this is trying to manage those things. Mm-hmm. Anger is really important.
Mm-hmm.
All of us are bad at it, but there is purpose of anger.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it be actually defending yourself or anger.
It's just how you channel it.
Yeah. Ego's up there too.
Yeah.
Shit, we talk about humor and bad jokes. That's important, but mm-hmm. you need to manage how you do humor, how you do condescending shit, how you talk. Like every last emotion outside of like the nasty ones
mm-hmm.
that these fucks be doing. I just watched a terrible Netflix doc, that girl in the picture shit. Certain people just need to be buried under jails.
Would you mind saying what's the context of that?
We'll get to
I'll
that
get to
later.
It. But every major emotion that every human is given is important. Ego being one of them. It's just where we channel them and balance them shits out. They really look like sound waves and
being self-aware as well. You have to be self-aware.
That's very important.
When you're moving from your ego so that you can check yourself and say, is this needed right now? Like, is this person actually out to harm me or is my ego harmed?
Ego is,
do I love this person or is this person good for my ego? Does this person stroke my ego? Like you have to be extremely self-aware of where your emotions are coming from.
I don't ever want anybody to stroke my ego. I think that's weird.
Bullshit.
I think I don't need anybody to stroke my ego.
What's your definition of it?
Well, like I don't need anybody to be like, yeah, like you're really great at that. Like, yeah, I don't need that.
Every human being needs their ego.
I want to be appreciated. I want to be, you know, I want people to appreciate what I do and appreciate, you know, my relationship with them, appreciate my energy and their life and their space or whatever. But I don't need my ego stroked.
When you say ego stroke, you mean like when people are overly doing it to just kind of get the reaction out of you in comparison to actual appreciation?
Yeah, I don't need that. Like to me, that's a little weird.
Would that be separating what's genuine and what's not? Because like, what if someone that really loved you was like, yo, what that thing you just put out or whatever you just did was really amazing. Like, I really love that. That's not stroking your ego. That's somebody that like really fucks with
you. Yeah, that's different. That's different.
I guess that's separating shit from real shit.
Exactly. Real shit can stroke your ego, though. It's not being purposely done to that, but it can feed into that at the same time.
That's true, too.
Ego is very necessary because I go back to, you know, conversation that I've had recently about Steph Curry. And, you know, I was talking to some friends, and I think I mentioned it online at some point, and I said I believe Steph Curry is a top five player of all time.
Mm-hmm.
I just believe that if he had more of an ego, that people would talk like he's a top five player of all time. I think that Michael Jordan, going back to Jordan, I think the only reason Jordan got past the Bad Boy Pistons, that era, was because he started, I think Jordan always felt like he was the best player in the league, but at that point, he started to impose that ego, like, I'm better than all of y'all.
But sometimes ego can be masked as insecurity.
Of course.
If someone is talking shit about themselves constantly, that can just come from a very narcissistic, insecure type of way. Like, but I'm saying this because no one's saying, but then also, like, that can come from a secure place. If you do something, let's say, just take care of your family.
Mm-hmm.
And you're secure and know that you take care of your family. You may not need someone to constantly be like, yo, thank you for taking care of us. You don't need your kids to be like, so I think so much of ego is very personal, and stroking ego comes from insecurity.
Absolutely.
And I'm making up my own definitions. I hate when people try to find Webster shit. Like, we all speak different languages in the English language. Yes. So what is it? Is it insecurity or is it security when it comes to anything ego-based?
I think you know when you could sense when somebody is imposing their ego on you because from a place of insecurity. I think you can see that. I think you can feel that. I think you can feel like, oh, this person is a little, he doesn't really believe that.
Mm.
But I get it. You know, as you get older and you go through enough relationships with people and things like that, you start to sense things and pick up on things and read things better. Like, oh yeah, he's a little insecure, but it's okay. I understand. I just think that a lot of times with our ego, we get caught up in thinking that ego is a bad thing. And it's really not. If you know how and when to impose it and use it. I think you need ego to push through certain situations of doubt. I think you need ego to push through certain situations of, like, you know, just not being in your comfort zone.
Right.
Like, you need it sometimes to maneuver through this world because, you know, a lot of the times people are not going to, you know, they might know that you're good at something or you're a good person, but they're not going to tell you. They're not going to make you feel like that. And sometimes you have to be like, you know what? I am a good person. You know what I'm saying? You know what? I am good at this. I am the best at this. I do this very well.
But that's not always your ego, though. Your ego more comes from, your ego is more formed to protect you from whatever you're afraid of and insecurity and fear.
Right. That's why I said it.
So if you are the best at something and you believe that you're the best at something, that's not you speaking from your ego. That's just fact. And you can love yourself and have confidence.
Oh, no, it can be speaking from an ego.
Without you being egotistical. Mm. Without you using
that. That's why I said you have to know how to channel it. You have to know how to channel it. You have to know how to use it, how to turn it on, how to turn it off. When do you impose it on the people? When do you just take a back seat and be like, yo, you know what I'm saying? I know that I'm capable of this, but I'm going to just fall back. Like, it's just all about knowing. Like you said, self-awareness, knowing yourself, knowing your capabilities, you know, knowing your insecurities, because we all have them, you know what I'm saying? And but then also knowing where to put yourself in what type of situation to where your insecurities are not challenged. You know what I mean? Like, you don't walk in certain rooms, or you don't go certain places, or you don't do certain things because, you know, I have insecurity. Like, nah, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to stay away from that. I'm not going to do that. Because you know yourself. Be self-aware. Be aware of yourself. And you know, that's just the first part. And then once you do that and you start to put yourself in the right situations, then you know how, oh, okay, I could strive in this room. I could do this. I could do that.
But is ego just a blanket statement and not really an emotion per se? And granted, they gave me a tequila shot before we did this, so bear with me, Reddit, okay. With my terrible
rants.
I'm
about to blow this cushion in your face in 10 minutes. Don't you worry.
Is ego like the way they've taught us what carbs and gluten is? Bear with me. There's good carbs. There's bad carbs. Right. Carbs,
carbs,
we need them, but they'll kill us. Gluten,
carbs
we
get
need
a bad
it.
Rep.
Yeah, carbs do get a bad
rep.
They
do get a bad
rep. So is ego just a blanket statement of what Damaris was talking about is confidence. Like, if you have confidence in your craft, confidence in everything, that's great.
It's a thin line, though.
But is there certain parts of it where your body needs just this much of it?
Mm-hmm.
And if you go a little too far with it, then now you're a fat fuck.
Too much of anything is bad for you.
It's bad. So the definition is a person's sense of self-esteem or self-importance. If you want to get into the psychoanalysis of it, it's the part of the mind that mediates between the conscious and the unconscious, and it's responsible for reality testing and a sense of personal identity.
Mm. That's ego.
Yes.
Okay.
So your ego is kind of more of a face you put on for the world. That's why I said it's more of a protection thing. It's more of a face you put on for the world and how you react to people from what you think they might want from them or what you think they might think of you. It's not deeply who you are inside. It's a part of you, but
so
it's not deeply who, but it's a part of, not always a front, but it's a small part of you. But I think sometimes a lot of us let it get too big and we operate from that instead of operating from our hearts.
Do you think the Incredible Hulk character is based on ego in some weird way?
I think it's anger issues.
Yeah, that's, well, yeah, that's where I would go. Yeah.
Obviously, it's anger issues.
More than ego.
But I feel like
it taught us that it's okay to be angry and blow up.
Or sometimes you're always
save
angry.
The world.
You can always be angry and
you can get the girl that looks like Scarlett Johansson.
I feel like some of that character that's is based on ego too. It's definitely anger and anger management and things like that. But I do think a small part of it is ego. Like, I could literally kill everybody in here if I wanted to.
But a lot of I understand where you're going with that, but even something.
All right, now we get into my type of talk. Like, no. You just opened a whole nother chapter
I'm
in my
just
brain.
Saying, murderous. You know, I watch movies, but I read in between the lines too as well.
Yeah.
Even if something as far as anger. Anger is a manifestation of sadness. Anger is ego's manifestation of sadness because it's not okay technically to be sad. Sadness makes you look weak. So your ego's manifestation of that sadness is to be angry because anger. Is more applaudable than sadness.
She binge watched Death Poetry this week. I know when somebody binge watched Death Poetry.
She ain't tell a lie though.
Yeah, but she, you don't come in here with the Death Poetry energy, Damaris. Don't. We not doing that.
I'm just we talking. If we gonna talk, we can be talk. We can talk. I can talk about bullshit if you want me to. But if you want to really talk,
we gonna talk about bullshit.
You popped a champagne bottle before. That was just mad sadness coming out angrily.
Hey.
I was waiting to see where you was going to tie that in and like make it make sense. Like, that's what you did.
You shook up a bottle.
Yeah.
And it was sad. And it got fucking angry.
Yeah. And I don't know how you came up with fucking, that, but okay.
What an analogy.
It's air, it's pressure. It's,
I'm rolling.
I don't know what beyond Brewery brings.
So yeah, shout out to Angie Martinez. The name of
how do we get to Angie Martinez again?
Oh, because you're talking about the death of ego and all of that.
I know.
That was part of the conversation. So I'm just saying, like, what's the name of my podcast? I'm sorry.
In Real Life.
Another interview that came out and was on the timeline, Marco, Funny Marco, is that his name?
Instagram. I have no idea who that is.
You know Funny Marco.
I don't know people, man.
Funny Marco. Funny Marco, he does all the funny videos on Instagram.
Oh, yeah, I know who this is.
So he sat down and he did an interview with Orlando Brown.
Yes.
I don't know if Funny Marco has a podcast or...
Who doesn't have a podcast at this point?
Absolutely, at this point. He sat down with Orlando Brown. And Orlando Brown, is, as we know, is one of the most viral people on the internet. Anytime Orlando Brown decides to sit down and talk and open his mouth, pause, we don't know what to expect. And he's back with another doozy for us. He sat down with Funny Marco, and Funny doozy. Marco don't asked him about... I mean, he asked him about Bow Wow, and he asked him, you know, what's your issue with Bow Wow? He said, I don't have an issue with Bow Wow. And then things went left because I don't think any of us expected Orlando Brown to say what he said after that. He said,
really?
Orlando, he said, I mean, I didn't expect
judging by his viral history, you thought this was where he drew the line?
I wasn't expecting Orlando Brown to say that Bow Wow has some bomb pussy.
When's the last time you watched 106 in Park?
Last time it was hot when Little Bow Wow was on there.
You got a problem with Little Bow Wow?
I ain't got a problem with Little Bow Wow. Little Bow Wow got some bomb ass pussy.
You said bomb ass pussy.
Hilarious.
With a straight face.
And by the way, did 106 in Park exist after Bow Wow? I haven't watched it since it was hot with Bow Wow.
That existed after Bow Wow.
Yeah, absolutely.
Who was on after Bow Wow?
A lot of
people. That was Bow Wow was way after the whole Jalissa and guy that
was Keisha was on there with him, and then it was after those four, didn't it end?
Hmm. I can't remember.
Keisha was great on there. Bow Wow was great on there. Didn't it end after their run?
I think so.
Who came on after them? And shout out to Keisha.
Keisha and DJ Enough, DJ Pro Style.
Miss Mikey.
Who?
Shorty the Prince, Angela Simmons, Keisha.
Bow Wow.
After Keisha.
Yeah, that was like the end of it.
Yeah. Keisha, Bow Wow, and they were great.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That was
that. So yeah, that was it. Anyways, I thought that was fucking hysterical.
But I mean, no, he's right about About what? Since Bow Wow. Now, Bow Wow having bomb ass. Now, we sat down with Bow Wow when he kicked it. I had no idea that we were sitting across from a man that had bomb ass pussy.
Hey, hey, relax.
No, I mean, we was kicking it. I didn't. I'm looking at Bow like,
you
Bow. Bow got Bow, his track record. He's
your antennas didn't go up?
Yeah, like, I didn't get the feeling that Bow Wow had a vagina in that room. Like,
well, you're not a visionary?
No, I'm a visionary, but I just didn't. I guess my
you're sick.
I guess my eyes were blurry, but I don't know. I don't know what Orlando Brown is alluding to. But is this what his response was?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Bow Wow's response was: since when legends got to speak on fuckery? I'm filming my new TV show as we speak and preparing for a sold out show at the O2 Arena for the Millennium Tour in London. I'm a 35-year-old father. I don't play them type of games. You don't know this Bow Wow you're talking to, right? I am a boy, Damon.
Okay, so this is somebody battling with their ego. This is someone that has progressed a lot and wants to make jokes in the middle of it, but still don't play with me.
Or this is someone that's just letting it be known, like, I don't have bomb-ass pussy. I don't know what this gentleman is talking about, what he's alluding to.
I still have a crazy ego, but if somebody said it about me, I'd probably laugh.
Oh, you have to, yeah, bro, listen, you have to laugh at something like this. Like, something as wild and outlandish as this, you can't get on Instagram Live and start cursing at Orlando Brown and say, I'm going to fuck you up and all this other stupid. You just got to laugh, man. Orlando Brown. It's like, bro, he's sitting down with Funny Marco. It ain't like he was sitting down with Barbara Unfunny Walters Marco. And said
that. But when are we going to stop exploiting drug addicts and, like, for views? Because he's very clearly a drug addict and he's...
Which I heard he's actually doing better. To be quite honest,
is he? Is this him doing better?
It takes a while for drug addicts to get
for
there.
The drugs to kick in. All
right, no, cool. To do better. From what I've understood, that he is doing better.
Okay.
But I did see a girl tweet that Bow Wow was replied with avoidance. Look what I'm doing, bitch, and I'm so off you. He must have good pussy.
Y'all are sick. Y'all are crazy.
He replied like every chick that has good pussy.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I just, you know, Orlando Brown, I just hope that, you know, he's in his sobriety and his you know, recovery, that he's doing well. Because we know Orlando Brown is definitely not somebody that's gonna disappear for too long. He'll be back. He's gonna come back with some more news for somebody that got some more bomb ass pussy.
Wow.
I didn't know Bow Wow had bomb ass pussy. Like, the things you learn from Marco.
I'm gonna
not get
quick.
A bucket and a mop.
I just want to know, we took a break and Eden referred to Jill Biden as Jill Scott.
God damn it.
Are you serious?
I did.
Yeah, and I did it again. I had to use the bathroom and we just took a quick break and he was like, did you see what Jill Scott said about the Mexicans?
And I was
like, Jilly from Philly?
I thought Jill went crazy. I was like, don't tell me Jilly went crazy the last three days. Like, what
God
happened?
Damn it. I should have seen that coming.
You definitely defended Trump and all his quotes that were taken out of context against the Hispanic community.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to defend Jill Biden? No.
I don't know if I ever defended Trump and his comments about the Hispanic community.
Do you think I'm sometimes good people?
I think you're sometimes a good person.
Oh, wow.
Do you think
we all are.
Do you think he's all a rapist?
Or a drug dealer?
I don't know. You look like you dealt some drugs.
And have you ever
parties.
Done drugs?
No.
You've never sold anything? Not one rock?
No.
What defines that too, though?
What, drug dealing?
Yeah.
I think you have to clear a certain amount.
Yeah,
of
I agree. Like, yeah,
at least gotta, 1 ounce.
I sold
some weed, but I would
dealer,
never consider myself a drug dealer.
Yeah, no.
I've even sold a couple grams of coke. I didn't feel like a drug dealer. I was just like, oh yeah, my man's, all right, I got you.
Yeah.
Can you go back to that, Eden, so I could read that?
I can.
I've been killed online because I retweeted the compilation trailer of what's Biden's son's name?
Hunter Biden.
Hunter Biden's
the crack CEO.
And I believe I retweeted the trailer and I said, he kind of looks like that dude. What's the commotion about?
Oh, yeah, that's what everybody's saying.
The threesome looked all right.
If this was Trump's kids, it wouldn't be no, he looks lit. He looks like a rock star.
That's not what I'm trying to do.
He looks like he's having a great time.
That's not what I'm trying to do. If this was Ivana, down this rabbit hole.
If this was one of the Trumps, oh, my God. Get him out. Impeach.
He hasn't even admitted it yet.
Well, Jill was talking about the bodegis. What did she call them?
Bodegas.
The Badeckis.
No, she fucked that shit up.
She said the word.
Of course she fucked it up. None of these people are in tune with the communities that they're trying to get the votes from. None of these people care about the communities that they're trying to get the vote from. None of these people care about the people in the communities that they're trying to get the vote from. So then they get on stage and read a teleprompter that kicks their ass.
Huh?
And they stumble on all their words. They don't know what they're talking about. They sound so out of touch. And then people are surprised that they say things like, these people are unique as tacos and bodegas.
Ready?
Diversity of this community, as distinct as the Bogotas of the Bronx, as beautiful as the blossoms of Miami, and as unique as the breakfast tacos here in San Antonio.
My face should probably not be the one to say this. She was not calling them tacos. She was saying she was, it's a terrible speech. It's an awful speech. She was not saying you guys are tacos.
No, she didn't say
saying
that.
As unique as the breakfast tacos or breakfast burritos, which is I wouldn't have said tacos, that.
There's nothing unique about a breakfast burrito.
I just wouldn't have
burrito.
Said that yeah, in a speech. Yeah. She was not, I don't think she was referring to the Hispanic community in, I'm sorry, Latinx.
Mm. Thank you.
Community.
That's right. Defend your first lady, Rory.
I did.
You voted.
I voted.
Defend your first lady, Rory.
I'm not. It was a horrible speech.
It was horrible.
I just don't think she was calling them.
No, I get what you're saying. In a statement Monday, the National Association of Hispanic Journalists called on the first lady and her speech writing team to take the time in the future to better understand the complexities of our people and communities, adding, we are not tacos and do not reduce us to stereotypes. Yes, our Latin friends, family, brothers, and sisters are not tacos.
No, we're not.
All right. Well, let me ask two residents of the Bronx. Do you guys feel like you guys are Bogotas?
I have never been to a bodega.
Are you calling me fat?
Never been to a bodega. I've been to a bodega.
I think both you guys are Bogotas.
I'm a go-getter. I think that... I would call myself a go-getter.
And,
absolutely.
And in Jill's defense, I know a lot of women in Miami that I've called a blossom.
This is very true.
I'm sure you do.
This is very, very, very true.
What is a blossom? I'm actually not trying to be funny.
Blossoms, I'm assuming flowers.
Yes.
Is Miami known for their flowers?
I would assume so. It's a pretty...
they have nice...
There's sun and shit.
Yeah, there's a blossom.
There's sun and shit.
Cherry blossoms.
Okay. Yeah, those are beautiful.
Yeah, I guess you can compare those to Latin people.
We blossom.
Yeah, they blossom inside of breakfast tacos.
Yeah.
But
breakfast—that's first of all.
Wait, so
all
she was she trying to like do a scheme? Was she suggesting that there's Latinx?
She was
community
trying to sound like she was in tune with the
in
Latin
corner stores,
and
then there's
she was trying to make a funny Rory, and it
this
fell
is why
flat
they should actually
face.
Hire Latin people.
Mm, what?
Oh, finally, they should get some Latin people in their cabinet.
Mm. By the way, also.
I mean, they do
out of all the woke people, why is that not a degrading word to anyone?
What?
Don't put me in your cabinet.
Oh,
well,
like if I'm worried, like bro, I don't want to be in your cabinet.
Well, Eddie's in the closet.
You're right.
Wow!
I don't even know what just happened.
I have no idea either.
She said Eddie's in the closet.
Did she?
Oh, I get it because you're gay.
That's crazy.
There was another episode. There was another. I'm trying to. I promise you, I'm trying to hold this thing
He's
together.
He's a Latinx.
Maul trying to hold the pod together is actually very
I'm trying
funny.
To hold this shit together. Another interview that we saw is coming is season two, I think, of Kevin Hart's. Is it Heart to Heart? Is that the name of it?
Yes.
Did I just butcher Kev's thing? He's going to probably kick my ass for that anyway. Heart to Heart.
If you lose a fight to Kev. Actually, no, I've seen Kev box. He got quick hands.
Kev is in shape.
Yeah,
Kev boxes.
Yeah,
Kev works out. Now, okay. Kev, he ain't going to be no.
I agree.
It ain't going to be no light fight.
I don't think so.
Trying to fight Kevin Hart. But he has an interview coming with Jay-Z on the second season of his show on Peacock TV.
Mm.
I believe it's called Heart to Heart. Kevin Hart.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I understand that Kev has been part of Rockefeller Films for a very long time.
Yeah,
but
Kevin,
I feel
Kev
like
is
you,
honorary Rockefeller. Kev needs a he. Kev should honestly, he might need a rock chain.
Okay, you know what's kind of funny? You're not honorary Rockefeller. You are Rockefeller,
and you don't have a rock
chain. And we're on our second season.
Yeah,
are we?
I don't know.
Wait, do I also get a rock chain?
Just feel like,
do I get a rock chain?
You can have tacos
by associate. Okay, that works.
Maul doesn't even have a rock chain.
No, I'm they sell them on forums.
We don't have a Jay-Z fucking interview. All we got is that broken rock candle. Like, what do we have you for?
No, I got a new one. That one's not broken.
Oh, there you go. You didn't know that, did you?
No, it's a new one, right?
Look at you.
I want to see this. I think that is dope that Kev was able to secure an interview with Jay. And it looks, obviously it looks like Jay is comfortable. He knows Kev. They have a relationship. They have a friendship. And I like what Kev is doing. He's sitting down with some interesting people. He has interviews with Pete Davidson, Chris Rock, Jay, and whoever the fuck else is in his phone.
So everybody.
Yeah, everybody that's in his phone.
JP, David.
Tyler Perry, Mark Wahlberg, Tracy Ellis Ross, Saweetie, Christian Stewart, Mike Tyson. That should be an interesting one. Seth MacFarlane. Yeah, so Peacock has ordered 11 episodes for the new season of the show, which is produced by Heartbeat. Kev, Jeff Flanagan, Candace Wilson, Cherry, Ty Randolph, and Todd Yasui. I'm sorry if I fucked that up. Serve as executive producers, and all episodes are directed by Leslie Small. So yeah, man, shout out to Kev.
Of course, shout out to Kev. I hope they get into their shit, man. Did they say who's sponsoring it? I know you just read a bunch of stuff, but did they say who was sponsoring it?
Probably some alcohol that Kev owns. Probably some hair care products that Kev owns.
I just hope Kev could get into his shit, man.
Get into his shit as far as what?
Some real conversation. Because Kev is a deep dude. Kev has just decided, as he fucking should, for his legacy and family to be one of the biggest comedians and celebrities of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now that he's surpassed that entire peak. Like, I know Kev can do more. I'm not trying to box him in. I know there's more for Kev. Mm-hmm. But Kev has solidified himself as the legend that he is in film, comedy, everything you want to talk about. He's broken every fucking record.
Yeah.
Kev is a deep dude, man. Kev comes from the Patrice O'Neal, mm-hmm. Bill Burr, Jim Norton. Like, he comes from that class of the comedy seller. Kev is not some shallow dude that he can come across to middle America. Kev is a deep dude. I just want to see Kev get in that bag because I know that's who Kev really is.
I mean,
like, Kevin Hart is this superstar, of course, but bro, he did fucking 15 years of being that deep ass comedian for a while. Pause, if that's a pause.
I just can't believe that the guy from,
like, I don't want him to talk to Pete about Kim. I'm sorry, I don't.
I want to talk to Pete about his drug addiction.
Yes, I want him to talk to Pete about, yo, fam, what the fuck is going on?
Weren't you going to marry Ariana Grande?
What the fuck is going on with you and Kim?
No, what the fuck is going on with your unstable SNL? Relationships?
With you and Kim? What you mean? He's going to ask Pete Davidson what the fuck is going on.
You asked me a question off rip. From what I know about Pete, and I'm not saying this as an attack to him or any being gossipy or anything, but shit has been thrown in our face. I've known Pete's father passed in 9/11, and he has had constant relationships that have been high profile, that have lasted 2 to 3 fucking months. SNL has been an up and down with him. The public has been an up and down with him. He hates attention, yet gets constant attention, yet only dates people that are going to get him attention. Talk to me, Pete.
Yeah.
You want to know?
I think I wouldn't ask Pete that because Pete and I are not friends, and Pete would never sit down with me, which is totally fine.
I didn't know
but I don't care. I don't mean that in a bad way. I actually like Pete.
Yeah.
I would sit with Pete. I just don't think he would sit with me, and that's fine because there's plenty of people I wouldn't sit with.
Pete would not sit down on this show.
Of course not. And that's totally fine. I think we suffer from a similar anxiety. But Kev is his man's. Kev can ask him those questions.
No, but which is why I'm saying I think what Kev is doing and how he's able to do it is perfect for this type of shit. He's a comedian, so he can give the comic relief type of questions. They can relate to each other because they're both comedians. And then Kev knows personal things that I think about these celebrities and these guests that they're okay with him bringing up on camera.
All right. I'll put it this way. Because you know, like, I'm a big stand-up comedian fan. So I've watched Kev on, like, Opie and Anthony and Say What You Will About Them, once our label mates apparently was Sirius.
Really?
But I've seen, Opie and Anthony was on Sirius. I've seen Kev with Opie and Anthony. I've seen him on, shit, even with Joe Rogan when Joe Rogan was popping. There's a level of comfort on Bill Burr's podcast. Like, there's a level of comfort where Kev gets out of his superstar bag, which is my favorite Kev. And this is my personal shit. Of course, Kev is, come on. You just got to shut up when you're at that level about certain things. Mm-hmm. He's just amazing in that bag. And now that he's surpassed everything, like, what more do you need?
I'm just trying
get
to
get back into the Kev that I've watched on look the most comfortable.
But why do you keep saying get back to it like he's not in that bag already? Did you watch the first season of this?
Yeah.
You know, you feel like he didn't ask like the questions that you wanted him to ask?
Not the ones that I know he would ask from the class of comedians that I know he's from.
Okay.
And I'm not talking about comedy. I'm just talking about that deep psychological fucking stand-up dark bag.
Well, you know
that I know Kev is from.
Well, you guys do interviews. You know that it's not always up to you what you ask, because you can, people, especially superstars of this magnitude, walk in and say, this is off limits, this is off limits, this is off limits. We're not talking about this.
Great fucking point.
I don't think Kev receives a lot of that from the people that he sit down with. I don't think they give him a long list of, I don't want to talk about that, I don't want to talk about that. Like, I don't think so. I think that.
Well, that's because they assume that he knows not to ask about this.
That's a great point. And that's why I specifically brought up Pete in that conversation, because Pete is a comedian and Pete has a comics brain and is friends with Kev, so they can actually get in that conversation. And they're both superstars and can know where that line could be drawn. He's been Rockefeller Films since 01. Him and Jay could have a real conversation, not that bullshit David Letterman conversation that was on Netflix. Yeah. Like, I don't need to see another superstar talk to another superstar. Kev and Jay have known each other forever.
But that's why you have
don't
to wait.
Give me the retirement. And I'm not saying that's what that is. Right. I know that was a clip to promote. Come on, I'm not stupid. I just know that they know each other and they both share a crazy amount of success. I can't even speak. Success.
And sex sex.
And word that I mean, is. They're both married. Yeah. And you know, people that marry don't really fuck that much.
No, they don't. it's terrible.
I would just like to see Kev take this opportunity to be the conversationalist that I know Kev could really be.
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
I think we'll get that. I think that
doing Bryan Cranston, I know you were on the same movie with him, and I love that movie too, but you're not going to get...
That was a great movie. Well, great
it was a
remake.
Fucking great, no, it was great, a great remake, yeah. No, that really was a good movie. Just...
I want
to see Kev get in his bag, man. Like, I love to see people become superstars and then also go back to their roots, because it's like, everything's free. I think Hov is doing that now.
I think
444 was that.
I think this is exactly what Kevin Hart is doing with this this Heart to Heart show. I think this is him, you know, just sitting down kicking it with people that he has a real relationship with, real friends, and I'm just talking about a bunch of shit that they probably would talk about if the cameras weren't rolling. So
I'm this is supportive. Did I not sound supportive?
No. You sound supportive. You sound like you just want.
You sound like a fan, and I don't mean that in a.
You sound like You sound like you want to know. You know, deep dark shit. I know your brain gets deep and dark.
No,
you
it's just know if relatable shit.
You want to know if everybody hears the voices that you hear at night in your head.
We do.
I promise you, you're the only one that
and
hears
I think,
those voices.
I think Kev, Pete, and Hov all hear the same voices.
We all hear the voices. I've heard Dominican yelling all through my childhood upstairs, sixth floor. No, you hear the voices. You never get them out your head.
Eden sends me voice notes all the time.
All the time.
Do you? You a voice notes? You look like a voice notes guy.
He's not.
Season 2 of Heart to Heart, I believe July 20, I want to say 9th. I believe I saw that. I'm sorry if it's not somewhere in July.
Season 2 is premiering today.
Excuse me, July 14th, today. Yes. Look at me. Just, you know what I mean? This is why they pay me the big bucks.
Well, how do you feel about Pete saying he wants to be a dad?
Oh, we should watch this.
I believe that Pete, you know, he's at that age where he probably, you know.
Well, he got 4 stepkids right now.
Oh, they're not stepkids.
They're not stepkids.
Okay, they're not married. 4 bonus kids right now.
It's not bonus his bonus kids either. Those
that's
not his,
crazy.
His fucking kids. You think PB and Anna, these are my kids.
I've been critical of Kanye and how he's reacted to some of that stuff, but if somebody called my...
Your kids.
The new dude is my kids, is his bonus kids.
Yeah,
nah. I'm a fight. Yeah,
you can't do that.
I'm a fight.
So now I understand why Kanye acts the way he acts, because people are saying they things like, you got my bonus kids.
That's crazy.
So yeah, season 2 available now. Peacock, Heart to Heart. I'll definitely watch it because season 1 was really good. Tony Siriso, the actor known for his role as Paulie in The Sopranos, has died at 79. Sopranos portrayed wisecracking gangster Paulie Walnuts Gualtieri on the HBO hit The Sopranos. He died Friday in Florida. I meant to mention that the last episode.
Yeah, man.
Paulie from The Sopranos, man.
And not even just
some of the best hair in the business.
Just not the Sopranos. Yeah. Well, that too. He had the wings.
Yeah.
Not just Sopranos. He was on one of my favorite movies that I don't think gets too much credit, but the Gotti HBO movie, not the Gotti one with John mm-hmm. Travolta. The mm-hmm. HBO one, I think, is one of my favorite movies ever. He was in Goodfellas for a second.
Yeah.
He was one of those that lived his rhymes. I don't know if people really know that. Like, mm-hmm. he was a consultant. And they say, yo, you should act.
Damn.
Yeah, he was really that. And he was an amazing actor. By far, probably the most, I hate the word polarizing, but sometimes that's the only way to describe shit. He was the most polarizing character outside of Tony on that show. Mm, like, he was the one.
Yeah.
You could have other favorite characters, but Polly, like, he was the one that was just stole every fucking scene, no matter what was going on.
And again, some of the best hair in the business. Rest in peace, Pauly. Tony Siriso.
And shit, we just talked about The Sopranos last episode.
Mm-hmm.
He might have killed Tony.
What? No. Come on, man. I don't mind doing the deep thinking shit, but sometimes we got to just be like, all right, no.
Come on. Why? He turned down Tony in the last episode to take over the whole construction business. Said, hey, I'm kind of out of this shit, man. I don't really want to do this. He was treated like shit. He was the oldest person in the entire crew.
Mm-hmm.
Constantly was just told to kill everyone. Never really moved up or down. Like, he was just... never got his credit. Tony used to fucking fetch his sandwiches. Yeah, man.
So you believe Paulie whacked Tony?
Maybe.
Hey.
Or along with a few other people. He maybe had enough.
I mean, it's not impossible.
It's not my theory, but I could see that theory.
Rest in peace to Ivana Trump. Prayers and condolences to the Trump family. Ivana Trump passes away at the age of 73.
How do you think she felt when Ivanka came in? I don't want to joke during someone passing away, but 73, God bless. I really hope I live to see 73. And I hope people joke about my death.
You hope people
joke you got to think that call came in when Trump went public with Ivanka. You know she called and was like, really?
Bruh, it's one
Ivanka.
It's one letter off. That's crazy.
You know he got a call from Ivana on his phone and said, Ivanka. Really?
See, I think the opposite. I think Trump was so past that that he knew the difference immediately. Never made that mistake.
I don't think he made the mistake. I just want to know what her reaction was when...
Oh, I mean, you know she...
dated a woman.
Yeah, but the...
You know, yes. Can you imagine if it was one letter difference? And she was young, and she was young enough to be her granddaughter?
Yuck.
Yeah, that gotta
you know I'm here to stick up for Ivana. You know Ivana went crazy.
Yeah, she definitely she got a pretty settlement though. She lived a great
God
life.
God damn.
Ego though.
14 million in 1992?
Take it.
I'd be sucking the wrong dicks.
Okay.
Sorry.
I mean, rest in peace, Ivana Trump. Just talk about dick sucking as I say, rest in peace, Ivana Trump. I mean, I don't know.
Thank you guys so much for tuning in to the new Rory and Maul podcast. I'm Rory, that's Maul.
Yeah, man. So what about the weekend? What we doing, Rory? Where we going?
Yeah, Rory, where are you going?
I just really want to know what that conversation was.
What?
What was that what was your conversation like when you dated?
No, I was just about to say, like, I was trying to figure out what would rhyme with Sam. That would be another name.
Pam. No.
That would be another woman's name.
Pam.
Can you imagine Pam. If I just dated a Pam? Like, next.
Yeah, that's not good.
You know you're getting that call.
That's not good.
Yeah.
That's definitely an argument. That's definitely a really, like...
During a settlement, too?
You piece of shit.
Like, that's somebody with an ego and some fucking confidence. That motherfucker Trump said, yeah, let me find a chick with the same name that could be her granddaughter.
Or I love a better version of you.
What's worse, almost the same name or they look exactly the same?
What's worse?
Yeah.
Looking exactly the same.
Yeah. If Rory would have got whatchamacallit, it would have been bad.
That's weird as fuck.
Because you can't tell me my soulmate wouldn't have been Pam. But if they look the same, yeah, that's kind of weird. Now you're going in weird territory.
Your new partner looking like...
What if you have a type?
Yeah, you could have a type, but you can't have a fucking...
Replica.
Yeah.
Like, that shit is odd. Like, I can't... Yeah, like, whatever your parents named you is out of my jurisdiction. But their genetics, yeah, if I... Now I'm being weird. I know my answer, but it would be a conversation with the new wife. Do you go to the funeral, and is the new wife going?
I think yes, because funeral is all about paying respects.
Sure.
And no matter personal things, private things, there should always be respect for the dead. So,
agreed.
Yes, if you're married and have moved on and your ex-wife passes away, you absolutely come to the funeral with your new wife. Like, she has to pay her respects to your ex-wife. Y'all have children together.
This sounds like a very Twitter conversation, but let's have it. Are you going to your, if you're with a girl right now, are you going to her ex's funeral?
Like your last ex?
Because I am, by the way.
Her ex?
I'll get my answer out of the way.
Her ex?
Yes. If like you are with a girl and her ex dies and she's like, yo, I want to go to the funeral.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I'm there for emotional support for my lady.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm surprised. Because yeah. I'm doing
What if she cry real hard?
Let her cry.
She loved this person.
What did you go out
of my ego is not like that,
He's
dog.
Gone.
Okay, I'm shocked because I'm going.
I'm absolutely going. Yeah. Like, did you think I would not go? Of course I would
I did not think you would not go.
I would go.
Unless I ain't fucking
And I think you would break up
with her.
Nah. Why are you crying?
Y'all think I'm a piece of shit.
You fucking hoe.
Nah.
Yo, you crying over another dude?
Nah, I'm not like that. Nah,
if it's my girlfriend,
like, and it's like, yeah. Now, if
what if they wasn't official?
Now, if she used to date Devin Booker and we watching the game and he fucking, God forbid, blows his Achilles and she starts crying, oh, then we gonna have a fucking argument.
Wait, what?
But if he dies,
how did you even get there?
I'm just saying, like, if her ex dies, like, I'm not mad that she's crying at her Devin. Ex passing away. But if he tears his ACL and you start crying because he's out for the season,
okay. What if Devin Booker's mother's died and she wants to go to the funeral?
Okay.
And that's her ex?
Yeah.
Yeah. They know each other. They were in each other's lives.
But what if she like depressed? Like she depressed for months. Like she can't get out of bed.
Nah, we got 7 days for that and then we snapping the pot of that.
7 days
and yeah, I lost my homie. It took me 7 days. I got over it. This was my man.
Well, everybody has a different grieving process. Well,
nah, but you got 7 days to grieve. Then we got to get back to living. Like, what? All right.
What if she used to like just casually fuck homie and he dies? And she wants to go to the funeral, and she's like, "Mo, like this was just one of my, you know, little nah mean pieces.
I need
your support,
you
though.
We're not doing that.
Yeah. I be loving my nah mean pieces.
I was about to say, if one of my nah mean pieces dies, I'm gonna be crying at that fucking funeral.
We're not doing that.
And I would love for my girl to support me through this.
You gonna be front row?
We not.
No, whoa. I was a nah mean piece. I know my place.
Not somebody that you
I'm in the back of the church.
You was just smashing every now and again. No, you're not going to that.
Nah, what if they answer five?
Nah, you're not going to that funeral.
Would you go to one though?
Like if I was just having casual sex with a woman?
For a while. And that was like, come on, you have a non-mean.
Yeah, I would go, but I'm just saying, my girl can't go to a nigga she was just casually smashing.
But you could go to your shorties.
Yeah, that's a fact. I love her. Yeah, it's different. Now I could go to my little chick that I was just, you know, we had a sexual relationship, that was it. I could go to, but you can't go to no nigga funeral that was just smashing you like. Nah. Or you can't go and expect me to go with you.
Nah, I wouldn't even want you to go with me anyway. With me.
Like, you might be able to go because it's like, man, whatever. All right. But I'm going to definitely be in the house. Like, that's why that nigga dead. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm sick like that sometimes. I don't give a fuck.
That's fine. Yeah. We're all sick.
It ain't like he could fuck. That's
Maul.
Over.
Oh, wow. Wow. Wow.
It's over.
Wow.
It is what it is. Yeah, go ahead. You want to go to this funeral? Go to this funeral. I know what else gonna be stiff when you get back though.
Nah, cause she gonna pop. You ever get in an argument? You're like that nigga death. Yeah, and nah, I'm still thinking about that day.
Nah, you can't. Nah, you can't use. You can't that's use that mean. In the argument. That's sick. Yeah,
that's fucked
that's
up.
Like,
yo, that's a key. That's crazy. That's like yo, yeah. Do y'all really like each other? If y'all talk like that,
I told a lie once.
Don't tell me you said one of your pieces died. And
no, God, no. I'm not that type of liar. I lied. I don't lie like that. I went to a ex's grandmother's funeral when I was with somebody once.
Okay.
And I may or may not have put the suit in the car and changed. Never mind.
That's not bad.
Nah, forget it.
No, why?
I feel bad just telling it.
No, that's not. I don't. I personally don't think that's bad. I don't think that's bad.
I threw the suit in the back seat of the car and left the crib with regular clothes on, and then changed into my funeral outfit and went to an ex's grandmother's funeral. I wasn't. I was not fucking that girl no more. That was my homie. But I out of like, it's weird when you say out of respect because that's disrespectful.
Did you meet her grandma?
Yes.
Okay, so then yeah, I get it.
But I just didn't want to put somebody in that position, which in retrospect, I would have just now been like, hey, I met this woman and like, just want to go show love. Like,
you think she would have been pissed?
Of course. That's why I lied.
But see, that just lets me, you were with a wrong.
That's why I lied.
You were with the wrong person.
Yo, we have to lie about the wrong shit.
I know. That's what's so crazy.
Yo, we have to lie about the wrong shit.
I had not fucked this girl in 10 years. Like, she was not a threat to nothing. Like, that was just a big part of my life. And I was just like, damn, I want to go, but just know you and you're going to be weird about it.
Mm.
And you already had some weird thought in your head that we were still fucking when I was not on God. I had to do, you know how fucking weird I felt about lying about going to a funeral? You had to throw a black suit in a back seat of a car and walk out in gym shorts like, hey, just headed to the gym.
Like, no, you know what? Like,
you know what that felt like?
But you had to do that because, again, you was protecting your current girl's feelings. Like,
I did not want to lie about it.
Women say they want honesty from men, but they really
of course
don't.
They don't want honesty. Are you crazy?
They don't want that.
And I think she's probably listening and putting two and two together now.
Yikes.
It doesn't matter.
Hey.
But no, of course, it doesn't matter now. But it's weird the shit you have to lie about.
Girls got to stop tripping about stupid shit. Like, that's so stupid. That's stupid shit.
Girls got to stop tripping is the funniest thing ever.
Did you guys watch Bill Burr's new special? Since we're talking about comedy?
No, we have not.
Man, I'm so mad. I'm going to watch it tonight.
It's exactly what I want from Bill Burr at his age.
I know what that means. So yeah, what else is on the list this weekend? What are we doing?
What are you doing? How about that?
Do
you
want
to go to Toronto?
When?
Not this weekend. Drake announced his...
Oh, yes.
I wouldn't call it OVO Fest because it's not, because he said he wants to put that Universal. I see what he's doing. I respect it. Great marketing.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing the OVO World Weekend. This is the way to promote and pop off the world tour he's going to do with OVO Fest, which I love. Without even seeing this lineup, Thursday I definitely want to go to, and this is no disrespect to Chris Brown and Lil Baby. I just don't particularly care.
What about August 1st?
Wayne, Nicki, and Drake Young Money reunion. I'll go to Toronto for that. And during that weekend, Carabana weekend, however you want to pronounce it, I'm white.
Really? We hadn't noticed.
Everyone pronounces it differently. I'm going off what Torontans pronounce it as.
Torontans?
You mean Canadians?
Torontans. Sixons.
Sixons. The Sixers. Yeah, this is a good lineup.
I want to know what the All-Canadian North Star shit is going
to
be.
I have to assume the weekend.
All-Canadian North Stars? Drake, maybe we get a Glenn Lewis set?
I feel like that's the most obvious one. If Glenn Lewis does not come out on the All-Canadian shit, if Cardinal doesn't come out on that shit, don't pull up Ryan Gosling.
Oh my God, Sandra Oh is from Canada?
Most actors in that shit.
Celine Dion.
The Rock is
Canada?
Not from Canada.
He's not from he's from Tijuana. He's from Tijuana. Like, I know where The Rock is
all
from.
All these people are from Canada?
He's from Tijuana.
Tijuana. He might have been. No, he was born in Canada. Oh no, he wasn't born in Canada. So. Damn it. Why do people.
Does he bring out Tory Lanez?
His dad was born in Nova Scotia.
Why? Of course.
Don't say of course so quickly.
I don't know. I was just going off the music, but.
Of course. If you're going off the music, you have to bring out Tory Lanez.
Canadian all-stars.
Yeah, but I don't. You know, Drake is very. I don't know if he's going to. It's just tough because around this time, when is this? All July?
July 28th. This shit's around the corner, bro.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's in 2 weeks.
The All-Canadian North Star should be interesting, though. That would be interesting to see who he brings out for that. Chris Brown and Lil Baby is going to be dope. That's going to be, I mean, Chris Brown said is always dope. Lil Baby got that Lil Baby verse. That's his best verse, man.
Damn. That wants and needs verse from Lil Baby.
That shit
is fucking
so
insane.
Yeah, he went off. But that in a minute is special. That's his best verse by far. Important verse too. I like what he was saying on there. I fuck with Lil Baby. I like Lil Baby a lot. All right, so yeah, I don't know what I'm doing this weekend. Probably go to the movies. Maybe
can we go see Black Phone?
Let's go see it. We could go see Black Phone. I want to catch the Yankees. Red Sox is here this weekend. I want to catch one of those games for sure.
Does Drake bring out snow?
Oh, I've been
I think so.
No, not Snow Allegra.
Oh.
She's young. So yeah, man, we'll talk to y'all soon. Be safe this weekend. Have fun. I'm that nigga. He's just Ginger. Peace.